I want to welcome all to the Landmark Baptist Mission Hour here at WYRN, 1480 AM and 106.9 FM. We're going to be coming back out of John chapter 17. So while you're turning there, I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for in this country. This is the greatest country that you could ever live in. Freedom, the gospel of Jesus Christ built this country. We didn't give the gospel a home. The gospel built this country and made it a home for the West. We preached last week where that we're not of this world, and we looked at some scriptures, and we're going to go to John 17, verse 15, and the scriptures actually go from 14 through verse 20, but we want to look at verse 15, start out with today, and the title of this message is, "The World Still Hates Jesus." You know, this by itself, if you look at mankind, as you're getting ready to turn to John 17, verse 15, how we are conducting ourselves today proves, along with the Bible, that evolution is 100% wrong, because man is not evolving, he is devolving, he is declining, he is falling. We are acting worse than the animals that live in the wild, to be quite honest with you. We are not living like a civilized nation anymore. And one reason for that is the Christians have quit salting the earth with the truth with their own lives. You know, you just don't hear people talking about Jesus anymore. You don't hear them talking about the things in the Word of God. And you don't hear a lot about, you don't see people living according to the Word of God. And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer here in John chapter 17, I've said this every week. We've been doing this for about 2 months. We're going to continue right on, and we're going to stay with this subject because it's very important. I don't know how long. It might be a year before I get done with Hebrews 7 when we get done with John 17, which will be a continuation of the eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ. But he prayed that we would... our Christian lives. He prayed that we'd live the way he did. He prayed that we would not give in to the evil. And he prayed for our sanctification. All that's in verses 14 through 20 of John 17. I'm going to read just 15 so we can get going in this message. Jesus said in John 17, verse 15, "I pray not," he's praying to the Heavenly Father, verse 1. He said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." And I've said this many times, I'll say it again, I'm going to keep on saying it. When you read John 17, you're reading about a prayer that's called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus Christ. And this prayer is going to produce results. It's going to have an effect upon those that he is praying for, which is the elect of God. This prayer is not for one outside of the elect of God. This prayer is for all those that the Father gave his Son to die for. People say, "Well, Jesus died for the whole world." No, not according to the scriptures. If you take just John 3:16, it looks like he is saying that. But if you look at the word "world" in the Greek, it can be used in the broad sense or in a limited sense. And there's other script. Matter of fact, John 17, verse 2 tells you exactly who Jesus Christ is going to save. And I've mentioned this many times, so let's read that verse real quick. John 17, verse 2, Jesus praying in his prayer. He says, "As thou," talking about the Father, "hast given him," talking about himself, the Son of God, "as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." You say, "Well, he gave him the whole world." No, he did not. John 10, verse 15 through 18 tells you that Jesus Christ gave his life for the sheep. He did not give his life for any of Satan's sheep. Or if you want to go to the judgment of nations in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31, you will find where that the Lord breaks the human race down into sheep and goats. Jesus Christ did not die for any goats. He died for those that the Father gave him. And so, this is an effective prayer, and today he's praying that God the Father would not take us out of the world, that we won't suffer, but that we would be protected from the evil of the world. Friends, it's all by grace. If you're doing anything for the Lord, do not boast about it. If people is coming to you and telling you if, that they enjoy what you say as a Christian to them, something you've said has helped them, or if you're a minister of the gospel and people's telling you how important the message was, do not think for a moment that you had anything to do with that. That is God giving the increase. But dear friends, listen, there's evil in this world. Jesus knew that, and he's praying that we would be protected from it. Verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Folks, we have banned the Bible and prayer from our schools. Now, I want to tell you right now that the communist and the communist movement is growing tremendously in this country. And this communist movement is about to take over our politics. This is no exaggeration, dear friend. I'm telling you, they're coming. And the Christians need to realize that proving time is now upon us. God is going to separate the professors from the possessors. I believe things are going to get really, really bad in this country here in the very near future. Communists are taking over. I want you to know that the movement that's called the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm going to tell you right here, as a minister of the gospel, and you, those of you who've been listening to me long enough, you know that I tell you the truth, and I give you scriptures for everything that I say. The founders of the BLM movement have announced, they have declared openly, you can go to the internet and read this and listen to, her name is Patrice Cullors, C-U-L-L-O-R-S. She said that we, talking about the founders of this movement, and the founders are Patrice Cullors, Alicia Garza, and Opal Tometi. And she said, here's her exact words, we are trained Marxists. When you hear someone say, we're a Marxist, or you hear someone being reported, they're Marxist, what they're talking about is they are followers of Karl Marx, who wrote the Communist Manifesto, which Russia built their government over and has cost millions of people their lives. There is no room for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no room for freedom of worship when the communists are gaining control. And dear friend, you listen, please listen to me. I don't want to sound like a know-it-all because I don't know everything, only God does. But I'm telling you that the biggest obstacle between communists in our country and them reaching their attaining their goals is Christianity. They're coming after the Christians. They're going to be coming after us preachers. Hey, preachers, you go on about being blessed of the Spirit. Proven time's coming. Proven time's going to come very shortly. And one of the first things that has to take place before the socialist / communist can attain their goal is to do away with the preachers. And this could easily happen in this country. Already, we've got people that's being beaten up and even shot and killed for simply expressing their political views. Used to, you could ride around in a car. It didn't matter if you was Democrat, Republican, Independent, Constitutionalist. You could have posters in your window or on your car. Now, you can't do that today. It'll get you hurt and possibly even killed. So the freedom of the First Amendment of our Constitution is in great jeopardy, humanly speaking. God's still on his throne. Thank the Lord for that. He's got everything under control. But humanly speaking, we're in uncharted waters right now, and we need to be praying. And the reason why that we're in the place we're at today is because we've banned the Bible from every aspect of our society. And when you do that, the inevitable thing that's going to happen is spiritual darkness is going to grow. And that's exactly what's happened. This country is living by the law of the jungle and not the laws of God's word. When you remove the Bible from the schools, you've opened up the door. And we did this. We started doing this back in 1947-48. We removed prayer out of school. 1962, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that Sundays was no longer a holy day. Well, whoop-de-doo, who left you in charge? You going to tell me from the time the pilgrims got here until 1962, Sundays was observed as holy, and then all of a sudden, you elitist, arrogant people on the Supreme Court judges declare that Sundays was no longer holy? Sundays is the Lord's day. Jesus still believes it's holy. It does not matter what you as a judge thinks. And so 1962, Sundays was robbed from Jesus by the United States Supreme Court. And then in 1973, women were authorized. They were allowed to murder their babies while in their womb. Folks, even the animals don't do this. I've watched nature shows where the crocodiles over in the Nile River in Egypt, well, the big mama crocs will take care of their young. And we got women over here by the thousands protesting for the right to murder their babies. Good night, what in the world's happened to us? And then 1973, that 73 was not a good year. 1973 was the year we removed same-sex from being a mental disorder. I remember this. Same sex was considered a mental disorder from 1962 to 1973. And so in 1973, we gave women the right to murder their babies and also to declare same sex as not a mental disorder, but an alternative lifestyle. And then in 1980, the Supreme Court ruled that the Ten Commandments cannot be held up in our churches or municipal buildings. I ask you now, are our schools better off than they were in 1980? I don't think so. How many school shootings have we had since 1980? Oh, it's been, you remember Columbine? All those kids getting shot out there in that big school. It was in Colorado. And then in 2015, the United States Supreme Court once again proved that they are not infallible, but fallible in the truest sense. Ruled that same-sex could have the right to marry and be equal to biblical marriage. Folks, all of this is because we Christians have sat by on our behinds, and when we saw the Bible being banned from our schools and prayer from our schools, we've sat on our keisters and done absolutely nothing. We have given our country over to the reprobates. We've removed God's Ten Commandments from our schools. What is wrong with the Ten Commandments hanging up in our schools? Good night, man. Is there anything else better that you could have the children looking at? School shootings have increased probably 1,000% since we have removed the Ten Commandments and prayer and the Bible from our schools. Do you know in the 1700s that the Bible was part of the education of the children in this country in the pre-colonial and colonial periods? Noah Webster, his uncle. Noah Webster, the father of education, spoke 27 or 29 languages fluently. He said that religion without the Bible, without Christianity, is abstract. What that means is dead. And that's exactly why we are in the shape we're in today. Our schools are in the shape they're in. Our young people are in the shape they're in. Our universities are in the shape they're in, because we have, for the last 50 to 60 years, we've been putting forth a dead education. Christ is the life of education. He is to be the ultimate goal. Do you know back in the old days at Harvard University when it was first formed? Now, Harvard was created to train ministers. Part of the course at Harvard was the children had to take notes and recite the notes and give exposés on the messages that they heard. And they promoted the thought that serving, they were to consider the end of their lives, that Christ was to be the end of their lives and the purpose of their lives. Now, if things keep going the way they are, dear friends, I know this ain't much of a happy Thanksgiving message, but I'm preaching on the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. Why did he say keep them from the evil? Because he knew that in our day and time, things would be worse and worse. We are living in the days that Paul wrote, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're in those days. But if things keep on going the way they are, and if the communist that's in our politics now and is in our society, if things keep going the way they are, it will not be very long. And folks, I emphasize very long. It will not be very long before the Word of God, the King James Version, and the other versions that's in the other parts of the world is equal to the King James, or that is the King James. The Word of God, and as far as the world's concerned, they're going to ban all translation. The Word of God will be illegal here in this country. And this country was built upon the principles of the Word of God. That is in our history. That's why the progressives back in the 1930s began changing our history. If you can't take over a country that knows its history, there's no way America could be taken over if the true history had continued to be taught in our schools. And one thing that would have to be taught is how important the Bible and Christianity, what a role that it played in the founding of this nation. Even before they got off the Mayflower Compact, they wrote the Mayflower Compact. Before they got off the Mayflower ship, they wrote up that agreement. It was the first document that promoted a government by the people, for the people, and of the people. And it wrote in there, it was for the advancement of the gospel, of the kingdom of God. But you see, the progressives, the movement that started in the 1880s, could not handle that. So they had to start changing the history books in the 1930s. And now we've got children from the 1930s and 40s on up to right now, some 80 years later, that have not learned the true history of our nation. And that now we've got our schools teaching, they're teaching our children to hate this country. Friends, listen, if this country goes down, the world has nowhere else to go for freedom. We have been a beacon of freedom since the day we were founded, since the Revolutionary War, since our document, the Declaration of Independence, 1776, the Revolutionary War ended in 1786, and the Constitutional Convention in 1787 gave us our bylaws. We do not have a democracy. We've got a Democrat Republic. A big difference. You can't have a democracy. That would mean mob rules. We've already seen what mob rules. Look out there at Seattle and Portland, Oregon, if you want to see what mobs do. Look at the cities that's been burnt down, parts of them. That's what mobs do. The republic is the set of laws that we have that we can vote for, have the freedom to vote for, under the rules of our democratic republic. That's what America is. And so this country, but folks, also, I got so much I want to say to you. Also keep in mind this. We are in the very last of the last days. America is nowhere found in the Bible. And this country has to start going down somewhere soon. And this could be. I'm not saying that it is. As long as I've got breath, I'm going to fight with words. I'm going to stand for and fight for the truth. And I'm going to believe that God's going to help this nation and get us back to where we need to be, where we ought to be. I'm going to tell you right now, America is nowhere found in the Bible, and this may be the beginning of the downfall that's going to continue on through the rapture and all the way to the time of the Antichrist after the rapture. And this might be the bad economy that he might regenerate over in Daniel chapter 8. It tells you he's going to cause craft to prosper. So this may be the down economy that he may rejuvenate, which means, if that's the case, if that's true, the rapture is upon us. Dear friends, I know this. We all can agree on this. We are 2,000 years closer to the rapture than when Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 through 58, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We are 2,000 years closer to the rapture than when Paul wrote that. I don't know about you, but I am looking for Jesus. Can you believe that I've had people tell me that who profess to be saved, well, I don't want him to come right now. I had that said to me just recently. I don't want him to come right now. Are you kidding me? I'm sitting there. My mind's not accepting this. It's hard for me to even accept it, to receive the words, I don't want him to come right now. What are you kidding? What are you talking about? You don't want Jesus to come now to the clouds and get you out here? What is more important than going to the clouds to be with Jesus? A ball game? Really? Going on vacation? You want to grow older? Really? You want to grow older? Let me tell you about this, about growing older. I'm 59 years old, and my body tells me when I'm out there on the golf course, John, you are not 29 no more. And so it's not really fun getting older. Well, there's things I want to do. What's greater than going to the clouds and being in eternal happiness with our blessed Savior? Verse 14 said, because they are not of this world. And so, you know, we're not of this world. We saw that last week. Verse 15, Jesus says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Jesus did not save us for us to have a life of ease. Now, he blesses us and gives us, especially here in this country, we've had a life of ease, but things are beginning to change. There is a movement. Folks, listen to what I'm telling you. There's a movement in this country. It's a communist movement. And there's no room in communism for Christianity. Antifa and Black Lives Matter both declare that they are going to dethrone God. Well, anybody with a brain knows that's not going to happen. But what they are talking about is that they are going to try and destroy Christianity. Antifa is a communist, terrorist organization. They kill people that don't agree with them. We cannot have people calling for the death of the cops. Yeah, there's bad cops. There's bad people. There's bad preachers. You can't eliminate everything just because there's some few bad ones. There's bad preachers. There's preachers and priests that have molested kids. Now, as far as I'm concerned, they need to be executed. I'm serious, a heart attack. You mess with a child, you need to die. Through a court of law. Any pervert do that to a child, there's just no room for that person to be in our society. This world is so full of wickedness. And children are the target of much of this wickedness. My goodness, the trafficking of child pornography and sex. You're sick. You're just downright sick in the brain. And Jesus didn't save us so that we would have a life of ease. He saved us so that we would let our light shine and salt the earth with His truth, with His lifestyle. You live like Jesus to salt the earth. Christians as a whole have quit salting the earth. And that's why America is rotting. You know, back in the old days before the freezers came around, you put salt on meat to preserve it. You didn't put no salt on that meat. You better eat it up because it's going to rot. We are the salt that has lost its savor and henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Matthew 5:13-15. The salt is not salting. It's lost its purpose. I'm talking to individual Christians. You say, well, I can't do much. I'm here in an old folks home. I can't. Let me tell you, salt the earth there in that old folks home. Salt that care home with the truth of the gospel. Salt that rest home with the life of Christ. Let people, don't get, you know, I like reading the Bible on the phone when I'm on my job. If I'm in a place, they say, well, you got to wait 20 minutes. I'll pull my phone out. But if you got an opportunity to hold a Bible, hold that Bible. Because if people see you using your phone, they don't know if you're looking at TMZ or sports. But when they see, they know what a Bible looks like. And when people see you with a Bible, I've had people come up. I've had the most wonderful conversations because I've had a Bible in my hand. It's a great testimony. When I go to football games, I'll have a little New Testament. I'll pull that thing out and read it. I don't want to be pulling my phone out because you don't know. You're blending in with everybody else. Not everybody else has got a Bible in their hands. Amen? So get that word out. I don't care if it's just a little New Testament with Psalms. And by the way, we need Psalms. We need some joy and happiness in the lives of God's saints. We need to get fired up for the Lord. Had a person tell me one time, well, if a preacher preaches out of Psalms, he ain't got anything. Well, evidently, you haven't read Psalms. Psalms has got a lot in it. Read Psalms 119. Every verse in that chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, is dedicated to nothing but how important the Word of God was to David. Every verse. You've got more millennial language and teachings. in Psalms than in any other book. You got more prophecies of Christ coming back in Psalms than probably any other book. Rejoice, O Israel, lift up the heads of thy gates, for thy king cometh in. That's the millennial. That's after the tribulation period. That's after Jesus comes back and fights the Armageddon. That's after he comes back to the Mount of Olives. Revelation 19, verse 11, he's coming back with his armies. He's heading to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 and through 3. He's going to stand on the mount. He's going to get off that horse you read about in Revelation 19, verse 11. He's going to get off that horse and stand on the Mount of Olives that he left off of 2,000 years ago. He's going to stand there on his own feet. Israel's going to run up to the top of that mountain, and they're going to say, they're going to see the holes in his hands, the same holes that Thomas saw 2,000 years ago. And they're going to say, where did you get these wounds in thine hands? Zechariah 13, verse 6. He's going to reveal to them that he got those wounds from them. And they'll repent, and their eyes will be opened at the top of the Mount of Olives. And then that mountain is going to split in two. Zechariah 14, verse 4. And in one day, Zechariah 14, verse 8, Jesus, in one day, is going to become king of the whole earth. Because the Antichrist and the beast will be put in hell at the end of Revelation chapter 19. And at the beginning of Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and verse 2, Satan will be put in hell for 1,000 years. We're going to have 1,000 years of bliss on this earth. And the saints of God are going to be kings and priests. There will be none of this rotten protest. There'll be no more building burnings and beating up people, because the Christians are going to be in charge of the millennial government, because Christ will be king of the earth. It'll be his government, his kingship. And we, the saints of God, are going to get to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I worked all week on these notes. I haven't read two words off of them, but praise the Lord for that. I'd rather have it this way. We're in no rush. Oh, I can be here till the millennial. I got about one more minute left. He didn't save us to have a life of ease. He knew that when he saved us, that we would be living in a world seething with hatred towards him and his saints. And since the days of Cain, the world has not changed. Cain committed the first murder. Now, I said last week, and I'll say it again in closing. Next month, we're going to get to December 25th. Oh, joy, joy. That's when the world that hates Jesus is going to act like they love him. We get a little crazy that time of year. We start singing the Georgia Pines and how beautiful the branches are. And people believe that the wise men got there at Christ's birth. They didn't get there until 2 years later. So much lies about this holiday. There's something wrong when the world wants to celebrate the birth of Christ. I'm going to tell you what in closing. The Christ that they're celebrating is not the Christ of the Bible. Okay? So you just remember that. This is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Mission here at WYRM 1480 AM and 106.9 FM. And we pray that you'll join us next Sunday at this same time. And until then, have a happy Thanksgiving and God bless.